All right, let's do this. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. We'll get it up there. Matthew chapter 24 is where we're going to look tonight for a few minutes at these verses. Here's my thought. We're going to talk about this subject matter, as you know, when the Lord's return and some things that are going to happen in the future. Here's my philosophy about this. There are many passages of Scripture you can preach from on this subject, and I preach from a number of them, okay? But here's the thing. You cannot cover this subject in the space of one sermon unless you're going to preach for 2 or 3 hours, and then somebody would fall out of the pew and die if we tried that. So, it's true. You know, Paul tried to cover it all, preached till midnight, the guy fell out the window and died. Amen? And as far as I know, I don't possess the gift of being able to raise the dead, so I'm not going to chance it. And so, well, here's what we're going to do. I can't even cover whatever's in these few verses tonight completely, and I'm not going to try. Here's what I'm going to do. We're going to read these verses, and I'm not going to cover everything that's there. You're going to say, well, what about this or what about that? Because I'm going to leave some gaps. But the subject matter tonight is 4 observations. We're going to read the subject. We're going to read the title. We're going to just make 4 observations on the subject that's being discussed here, okay? So that's how we're going to handle these verses tonight. So looking at it, verse 24, it says, "No one knows the day or the hour, not the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. For the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, and one will be taken, the other left. 2 women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken, the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know at what hour your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let the house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." Let's go to the Lord in prayer for just a moment, and then we look at these verses. Father, we come before you tonight. We praise you and thank you for the services each night this week. We praise you and thank you for all that you have done, for those that have done business with you, and there have been many. There have been those that have made critical decisions that will affect their eternity. There have been those that have come and knelt at this altar and done business with you in areas that was just between you and them, and we give you praise for that. Lord, we've just seen you move in this place, and I pray you'd continue to do it tonight and in each of the churches represented here on into Sunday. That this doesn't just quit here. It continues to stir and well up in each of our churches. Father, I just pray that you do a work here that just won't quit. It'll just keep going and keep spreading all across this nation. You're giving us some glimpses of it in different places already. Father, I pray that there is a day out there somewhere we ain't seen yet, but just shortly ahead of us, that this won't be a glimpse, it'll be a takeover. Amen. And you'll just take over, and people won't be able to deny what you are doing. No matter what they think tonight, they will see you at work, and they won't be able to deny it, and they won't be able to stop it. Even if they try, you will move with power that only you possess in your people throughout this nation and then to the world. Father, we give you praise for all you're going to do, for we ask it in the precious, precious name of Jesus tonight. Amen. Oh, I'm looking forward to that. I saw some pictures. Vanessa pulled up some pictures on Facebook today of the prayer meetings going on at Baylor over here in Waco. And they need to be going on in Baylor and Waco, I'm telling you. And A&M and other places, and Asbury. There's other places beginning to swell up and boil up in places. I'm hoping it just boils up all over everybody. Amen? I'm waiting up. I've been praying for it for 4 or 5 years now. And so I've been asking God intently every day for Him to do something with an awakening, because we got to have it before we lose this nation. Amen? Absolutely. And I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to what Jesus is going to do in the future, too, that He talks about here in these verses. And like I said, I'm not going to even attempt to cover all this in one message. It's just too much. But I do want to make, as it says on the wall, 4 observations, just one after the other. And here we go. The first one is this. This is an event not to doubt. Amen? An event not to doubt. Folks, the fact of the matter is, His coming to get His church and His return later to set up His kingdom, that is a gonna happen thing. It is a set day, a fixed day, and it is going to happen. And what we need to learn is we don't need to be doubting this. Amen? Now, there are many people who do. There are preachers who doubt this. There are professors who don't believe this. There's all kinds of division. That's why I don't try to delve into a whole lot of this, because there's all kinds of division in the church, and I don't want to cause more of it over who believes what about this. But the one thing that you can be sure of, it's going to happen. And if you don't believe it's going to happen, okay, you got the right to be wrong. And one day when He comes, you'll know you was wrong. It's going to happen. Now, like I said, there are all these churches that don't believe this, and they don't mind telling you they don't believe it. Now here's my deal. I don't usually have a lot of problems with people arguing with me over whether Jesus is going to come back or not. I don't get that. And the reason for that is, those who don't believe it, they won't let me in. That door is shut to me. They don't want to hear from me. I'm way too much stuff for them. And they don't want to hear it. So I don't have to. The churches where I go and where I am, the one thing I'm fairly positive is, about 99% of them, they're pretty well fixed on the fact Jesus is coming. Amen? Amen? But that doesn't mean we don't have a problem. 99% of us in this room, there might be one sitting somewhere, but 99% of us in this room, you know what? We know, we believe Jesus is going to come. Amen. But you know what our problem is? And we do have one. You know what our problem is? We've got that event set off out yonder in the future somewhere so far that it ain't affecting how we walk with Jesus now. And somebody says, oh yeah, Jesus is coming. One day, someday. Well, what about today? You do know there's nothing in Scripture that needs to happen before He can step out on that cloud, blow that trumpet, and we're skedaddle out of here. Don't you do know that, right? But are you living like that could happen? That's the point. We've got it. Some people have got it. And I hear people talk like this all the time. We got it so far away from us that it doesn't affect us. And that's not right either. Even if we're 100% sure it's going to happen, we need to draw that thing back in a little closer so that it affects how we walk today like it could happen today, not just out there. Amen? Absolutely. An event not to doubt. Second thing, it is a time not to know. I have yet to figure out, and I don't guess I ever will, but I've yet to figure out in all these 46 years of full 46, almost 47 years in the ministry, for me, I have yet to figure out why verse 36 is so hard for some people to understand. Because, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've had people, and I've read books and seen pamphlets, seen information of these guys trying to tell us that Jesus is coming on a certain day at a certain time. And you know, and I think back to this verse. You know, he said right here that the angels don't know. The Son didn't know. Only the Father knows. Now, I ain't figured out yet why them people can't understand that. God the Father is the only one who knows this event's timetable. Amen? Now here's my thought. I'm sure you remember back in 2011, in May, actually it started about this time of the year, but this dude predicted that Jesus was going to return on May the 21st, which was a Saturday, at 6 o'clock in the evening. Yeah. Now, this dude had a spot over in the Middle East where Jesus was going to land. I'm serious about this. And he had such an absolute stir over this. He had people all across the world stirred up over this. There were people that actually bought plane tickets and flew over there and got out there to look for to be there when he landed. I'm serious about this. He had people stirred up like you wouldn't believe. And I'm down in Houston, down here in a little inner city church. Guys, a good little good church. They run about 125. And we was down there. You know how Houston is. You get down in. I mean, inside all the loops. We parked our trailer behind a 7-foot chain link fence with 3 strands of barbed wire on top. And all the windows in the church were bricked over. And all the doors were steel doors that couldn't be opened from the outside without a key. And they said when they left us down there that night, y'all be careful. And on Monday, I got to tell y'all this. Y'all don't believe this. On Monday at lunch, we were going to eat a sandwich or something. And Vanessa said, "We don't have any potato chips." I said, "Well, okay." She said, "I think there's a little store in the middle of that block right around the corner there. Why don't you go over there and get us some potato chips?" I said, "Weren't you listening when them people said be careful down here?" So I venture out and walk around there, and I told her as I was going out the door of the trailer at the time, I looked back in the door. I said, "Look, if I don't get back, you just tell them I died for potato chips." That's the truth. So I'm preaching in that church that Wednesday night, and I was preaching one of my sermons on Jesus' return because everybody that week was talking about it. I don't know how many people came to me and said, "Well, Brother Paul, what do you think about Jesus coming Saturday?" I said, "I don't think nothing about it. It don't ever cross my mind." So on Wednesday night, I'm preaching one of my sermons, whichever one it was, and I said, "Look, y'all, I'm gonna set y'all's mind at ease. Y'all need, if you're worried about Jesus coming Saturday at 6, take a pill and relax. He ain't coming Saturday at 6. I guarantee you he ain't coming Saturday at 6. I said, the scripture says, and right here's the verse I referred to, nobody's gonna be expecting him when he shows up. That's what it says. I said, everybody is looking for him. People flying over there to be there when he lands. He ain't coming at 6. Relax. I said, now he might come Sunday. Because ain't nobody going to be looking. They're going to be all disappointed on Saturday. They ain't going to be looking Sunday, and he might just show up a day later. I said, folks, this verse is absolutely true. Nobody's going to know the time. Nobody's even going to guess and get it right. I don't believe. I don't believe even these guys that think they can figure it out, they're never going to be right. Never. So when you hear these dudes predicting these times, just close your ears and turn around and run. That's a 14-carat nut you're listening to. And they ain't no use paying him any attention because he's not right. I told one guy, this guy said something about, well, you know, why do you think these guys do that? I said, well, I don't know why they do it, but I tell you one thing, I'd love to be able to sit down and talk to one of them. I really would. He said, well, what would you ask him? I said, I'd ask him why he thinks he's so cotton-picking special God told him before he told anybody else. You know, God was going to tell if time, favor of the events, it looks like he'd have told Paul or Peter or John. He told John everything else. What makes you so special that he told you? And see what kind of answer you get. Nobody knows the time frame. Now, I'll tell you what, one thing I have figured out. And I've had people ask me this question. I think I figured this one out. But I've had people ask me, well, why didn't he tell us? I think I got that one. If he'd have told us the exact day he is coming, we'd mess around till the day before and not do a cotton picking thing. You know how we are to get hard to get motivated doing anything anyway? You know, can you imagine this? Preacher trying to motivate a church to reach out and go for people. And somebody, I guarantee somebody in that church, Jesus ain't coming for 25 years. We got plenty of time. Amen? You know it's true. You know it's true. But just make sure you understand this. There is a time. And it is going to happen. Amen? It's a time not to know, but it's a time that's absolutely going to happen. Amen? Look at this third observation, and this third one is a sign not to miss. A sign not to miss. Jesus said in these verses, he gave us a clue of what to look for so we don't miss it. He says, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Okay? Now, and then he makes some other statements about that. But the thing you have to understand is this. What was going on in the days of Noah? So in order to understand what it was like in the days of Noah, you got to drop back to Genesis 5 and 6 and read about the days of Noah. And in the days of Noah, the Bible says that men and women were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. And you know what that means? It means they were just going through life as normal and weren't interested in anything that was going to change that. They didn't want to hear what Noah had to say. He was a preacher of righteousness. Peter tells us that. So not only did he build the ark, he told a story of why. And they didn't want to hear it. Peter says they laughed at him. They made fun of him. They didn't want to hear anything that was contrary to what they already thought, believed, and was doing. Does that sound familiar? As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. You know what? I believe we're there. We got a world full of people out here. They've got their mind made up about things, and they don't want to hear anything different. They don't even want us to have a legal right to say something different. Did you know that the Congress about 10 years ago voted it was illegal for preachers to stand in their pulpit and preach that homosexuality was a sin? That's a law in this nation. It ain't working too well. Nobody's trying to enforce it. I mean, the mayor of Houston here a few years ago was a homosexual woman. She tried, gave up. She wanted to see all the sermons for about 3 or 4 months of all the major churches in Houston. Whoo, she didn't know what she was asking for. She got bombarded. And it wasn't just the big ones, it was the little ones, it was everybody. They started flooding her with the Word of God and the sermons. She finally just threw her hands up and said, forget this business. Look, this is the truth in our nation. And it's not getting better. It's getting worse. It ain't going to get any better until God takes over. That's why I'm praying for an awakening, when God takes over. And some of this nonsense will go away. Amen? But that's the way it is. in our nation right now. People who think, you know, y'all are not deaf. You've been listening to this stuff since Roe v. Wade was overturned, and all the absolute insanity that's gone on since then. You know, and I'm going, are y'all nuts? They didn't say you couldn't get an abortion if you want to. They just said the states can restrict it. It's not a right in the Constitution. And it's not a right in the Constitution. And it is biblically wrong. And if you don't like that, hey, I'm sorry. Argue with God. He put it in there. It is just biblically wrong for this stuff to happen. And they don't want us to be able to say it's wrong. They don't. The truth of the matter is, as it was in the days of Noah, is here. But do we see it? That's the question. Are we responding in the proper way to it? That's the question. Not are we here. We're here. And it's a sign we don't need to miss. You see, in the days of Noah, they missed it. They missed it. They had signs. They had signs, but they missed them. God put before them obvious stuff that should have caused somebody to at least think this stuff through. Amen? You say, well, what did he do? He had a man build a boat the size of a football field in his backyard, nowhere close to water. Don't you think somebody should have wondered? You'd think so. Amen? And if you say, well, I don't know how, was that thing that big? Go to Kentucky to the Ark and just see. You ain't going to believe it. Because I've been there. It is absolutely incredible. And he had that thing built out there, right there, and nowhere close to water. You wasn't going to move that to water anywhere. And he kept telling them, look, God's going to cause it to rain. Well, what's rain? Water's going to fall out of the sky. Oh, man, you nuttier than a fruitcake. Water had never fallen out of the sky. It came up from the underground. He kept telling them water was going to fall out of the sky, and it's going to fall for 40 days, and the entire world was going to be underwater in a flood. And the only way to survive was to get on that ark. Oh, you're crazy. It says in here that they didn't know what was going on. You know what that means? You go back to the Greek. You got to go back to the Greek. It doesn't mean they never heard it. It means they refused to believe it. They gave it no credence. They gave it no thought. They just blew it off. When Jesus comes to get us, there's going to be a lot of people here that never gave it a thought. Blew it off. Until it was too late. As it was in the days of Noah. I mean, somebody should have wondered. Amen? But then he gave them subtle signs. What do I mean by subtle? Well, let me ask you this. Do you remember a man in the Old Testament by the name of Methuselah? Yeah? Y'all know what he was known for? Old age. You know how long a year it lived? 969 years. That's exactly right. Oldest man that's ever lived. Now let me ask you another question. Did you know he was Noah's grandfather? Yeah. It's in Scripture in Genesis. Do you know what the name, the word Methuselah means? The name means when he dies, destruction will come. And in Genesis 5, you can go back and put the numbers together. Noah's age, Methuselah's age. And you could set those numbers aside to one another. You know when he died? the year the flood came. He died the year the flood happened. Now, I know it's subtle, but somebody should have figured that out. You say, well, who would have known that? Well, a lot of people would in those days. They named their kids by the meanings of the names. We don't do that anymore. We don't do that anymore. They used to all, you know, it was all the time. And it's obvious we don't do that anymore. The name Paul means small. Wasn't nobody thinking that through. Amen? But then they do that kind of stuff. And I'm sure some people knew Methuselah, when he dies, destruction will come. And then you got his grandson building this boat, preaching a sermon that a flood is coming and nobody's going to survive unless they're on that boat. Somebody should have thought through this. Somebody should have had enough, at least enough sense to run by old Methuselah's house every so often and see about his health. Amen. Obviously not. And then here's the third one. And this one fascinates me because I could relate to this. Noah gets that thing built. And one day, out of the clear blue, animals from all over the earth just start roaming in there and walking on the thing. I mean, sometimes, you know, we teach Sunday school classes, little kids, and they'll talk about Noah bringing the animals to the ark. Noah didn't bring nothing to the ark. Noah just stood back, watched it. Tame animals, wild animals. Somebody should have noticed you got two sheep walking on with two lions. Follow them. And the lions ain't trying to eat the sheep. Now, I don't know about y'all. Y'all may have had nothing ever to do with cattle. My granddaddy had cattle. And I, because my mama was an only child and my daddy was the only son-in-law and I was the only grandson, we got in on a lot of cattle work. And I guarantee you, you can't get domesticated cows to walk into an enclosed space where they've never been before without a little inducement.
Amen. Amen.
Except all these animals just start walking on the thing. Somebody should have wondered about something, but they didn't. Amen? They missed it. And they paid the price for it. That's why Jesus says to us, you know, don't miss this. Here's the sign. Here's what it's going to look like. Pay attention. Pay attention to what's happening here. We've already had one generation didn't pay attention. Look what happened to them. Amen? Y'all ever wondered? Now, y'all know. Some of you don't because you don't know me. You've just this first night you've been here, first time you ever seen me is this week. But those of you that have been here a while, y'all know one thing about me. I ain't normal. I think about things that most people don't think about in ways people don't think about them. Which is fine, just ain't normal. Have you ever tried to wonder what it was like for people that first morning when they got up and went outside and it was raining? Now, I've thought through this. I really have. I've often wondered, what did they do? They walk outside and they go, that's water. It's falling from the sky. What is this? Maybe they hollered over to the neighbor. What is this? I wouldn't be a bit surprised if a dozen or two of them didn't meet down at the local diner for coffee and discuss it.
Amen.
And they get together and they're talking about this water still falling. And they talk about, you know, where this coming from. And I'd be willing to guarantee you, somebody in that little group said, this ain't what that old man been talking about all these years. He said something about water falling out of the sky. I don't know. Anybody seen him lately? Another guy says, well, I was down there yesterday and he wasn't down there. He's always down there. I don't know what that's all about. Maybe one of the other guys says, well, I went by that thing yesterday afternoon and that door is shut on that thing. It ain't never been shut. I got a sneaky suspicion people began to gather down there around that ark. Started walking around looking at it. Some of them got around there on that side where that little window is, right up there, way up there on the top, close to the top of that thing. And I've often wondered if in that little group somebody didn't back off over and they're looking up at that window. Noah! Hey, you in there? Noah said, yeah, I'm in here. Is this what you've been talking about all this time? This is it. How deep you say this going to get? Hey, man, let us in. We're just joking. Noah had to answer. Can't do that. God shut the door. I can't open it. It's too late. You ever tried to imagine that? We were at the ark, 2 years? Was it 21? Yeah. In 21, we went up there, another friend of ours, and we went and spent some days up there. And we were, this little display is actually at the Creation Museum, actually, I think. But when I walk through places, I walk through a lot of places, I see sermon illustrations. I don't know. I just see things and I go, ooh, that'll work in a sermon. And there was this display in this room, and I don't even remember exactly where it was, but I'll never forget this. It was a big old display. It was about probably 8 foot square. And it was landscaped, and it had water all out in the middle, and all around the edges and the sides there were mountains and hills that were sticking up. And the ark is sitting right out in the middle of it, floating. And all around those hills, people were scrambling up those hills to get away from the water. And I stood there and I looked at that and I thought, I never thought about that. The whole time they're scrambling up those hills trying to get as high as they could possibly get, they could see the ark right out there. Just float. A reminder to the fact they messed up. They could see salvation, but they couldn't get there. A sign not to miss. One more. A decision not to delay. Those people in the days of Noah made fun of, blew it off, pushed it aside, just... And they made a decision. It was a wrong one, but they made one. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Let's think about this parallel, okay? In the days of Noah, what happened? God had pronounced a judgment on this world that a flood was going to come and take away the entire society except for Noah and his three kids and their wives. That judgment was proclaimed. But before he carried it out, he sent a messenger. And he provided a way of salvation. And he gave them a message to hear. And he gave them the opportunity to believe and get on the boat. And they decided not to. As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be. A judgment has been declared again by God. It ain't going to be water. He promised he'd never do that again. It's going to be fire. That's what the scripture says. He has sent messengers, literally millions of messengers down through these 2,000 years since Christ came, to shout this message from every housetop and mountaintop, that everyone would hear it. He provided a way of salvation to miss it. He provided a message to lay it out so people could know it. And just as it was in the days of Noah, a decision is required. You got to choose something here. In the days of Noah, they had no idea when it was going to start raining until it started raining. In our day, we don't know when He's coming. We just know it's coming. That's why you got to make a decision before He comes. Are you going to be just like them? Amen. A decision is required. You got to make up your mind. And I've had people, so down through the years, I've had people come to me, and that, you know, it breaks my heart, but they come to me and they say, "Well, you know, preacher, I'm just not sure I believe that." Well, that ain't going to stop it. Amen. That's not going to stop it. And if you don't make this decision, you put this off too long. You're going to wish you hadn't. You ever thought about that? I have. Like I said, I don't think about normal things. I think sometimes about some really weird things sometimes. You ever think about the day after the rapture on earth? I have. I've thought about the day after the rapture here on earth. I've often wondered what it's going to be like. I used to say in a message, I don't remember which one, but I used to say it, I just thought of it, so I'll say it again. I used to say I would love to be able to have a peek at Nightline on the night after the rapture. I had somebody ask me one time, said, "What, you think it'll be on the air?" I said, "Oh yeah, there'd be plenty of them people here to conduct the show. No problem." Have you ever thought about that? All the eggheads they're going to bring on trying to explain where we all went. Somebody going to get on there and say, "We've been sucked out by an alien invasion." I'm serious. I mean, it ought to be some kind of show. I ain't going to stick around to see it. But if we get a little glimpse, it might be nice. Amen. It'd be fun. But you know what the most interesting person on that show will be? Dr. Reverend somebody. Because all preachers ain't going. I got news for you. And I've often wondered what it would be like to listen to his answer when somebody on that show says, well, Dr. So-and-so, Reverend so-and-so, could this have possibly been what the Bible calls the rapture? That'd be an interesting answer, I believe, because he should have gone, but he didn't. Amen. It'll be interesting to hear him say, well, it very well could have been, but I missed it. Yeah. Amen? It's a decision not to delay. Not to put off. And I've had people say to me, well, you know, I'm just not sure. I'm just not sure I believe that. You know what I say to some of them? You know what? I've said this. Maybe I shouldn't, but I have. I've said, well, I want to ask you something. You ever been wrong?
Amen to that.
I said, if you've never been wrong, then you may be secure in your ideas. But if you've ever been wrong, you ain't secure because you don't know whether this is right or wrong in your mind. It's a decision not to delay. Every person has to choose. Nobody is, and I've had people come to me and say this. For some reason, people love to come and say things to me. They don't want to say it to anybody else. But I've had people come to me and say, well, preacher, I've just always been saved. No, you haven't. I have had people say that to me many times. Well, I've just always been saved. No, you haven't. You came out of the box lost. And the only way you can not be lost is to change that prospect and make a decision for Christ. It's a decision not to delay. Are you delaying it? Because you think your friends won't like you anymore? Because you think somebody will say something rude to you? Really? You want to miss heaven and glory? It's a decision not to delay. It's required. And every time Jesus talks about this subject, he always gets around to the subject of being ready. He pushes the idea that you need to make this decision now because you really don't know the time frame of the event. You got to make this decision. And Jesus says you need to make it now because you don't know the time frame. Are you ready? Are you ready? And if you're not ready, I don't care who you are, what church you go to, how old you are, how young you are. I don't care who you are. If you've never asked Christ to come into your life and be your Savior and prepared yourself for the fact that He is coming back and you don't want to miss that, do it now. Amen. Not one day, not someday, not sometime. Today, now. Because this is all you got. Yesterday is a done deal. You can't change it. Tomorrow you don't know about yet. You don't know if tomorrow's coming for you or not. You say, well, the percentages are good. That may be true, but you don't know. Amen. I'm telling you, there have been several people that over the years. One here just last year. The preacher's mother came to the church for revival that night, and she's sweet as everything, just funny as all get out. And then her and another little lady was out in the foyer after church, and they had walkers, and they were talking about their walkers. They both of them came up to me and was talking to me, and so I was joking around with them, and I said to them, okay. I said, y'all gonna be back tomorrow night? They said, yeah, we're gonna be here. I said, well, good. I tell you what we're going to do. I said, we're going to put one of you on this aisle and one of you on that. We're going to have a little race of y'all running down the aisle with them walkers, just as entertainment for fun. And they both just died laughing. I mean, they just cracked up laughing, and we all hoo-hawed about it and went home. Preacher's mama died the next morning. 90-something years old, saved, and went to heaven. You don't know. You don't know. But if you've never received Christ, you need to do it now. Now. Because now's what you got. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray right now for every person in this room. I don't know who's ready and who's not. But I do know this. Nobody has to leave this room without being ready. Anybody in this room can come and make ready by giving their heart to Christ tonight. And all they have to do is come to this pastor tonight in these next few moments and simply say to him, I want Jesus. For when they open their heart like that, you have someone who can help them and guide them and pray with them. Father, I just pray that you'd give every person in this room who is not totally sure they're saved the courage, because that's what it takes, the courage to step out and get this settled tonight. It's not a decision to put off for any reason at all. So I pray we won't. I pray we come. For we ask it in the precious name of Jesus tonight. Amen.